75 million albums worldwide, 48 million in the U.S., but number one always, always in the hearts of Canadians, and especially right here in Toronto, where she called home for a while as well. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Miss Shania Twain.
Hello, Shania. A pleasure to meet you. Hi, sweetheart. How are you? Come sit, sweetie. This is yours. Welcome to our humble CHFI theater. Oh,
yeah. These are cushiony.
These are cushiony.
They are.
We just happen to have a copy of your book here.
Wow.
And the new Chatelaine, have you seen?
No, I didn't.
I know
see
you
yet.
Haven't.
Yeah.
We own it. That's why we can do it. The advanced
right here in the
copy.
Rogers building, right?
Yeah. Isn't that great? It's a beautiful story and beautiful pictures.
Thank you.
You have been caught up again in the whirlwind. How does it feel to be, you know, back spinning again with this life that you, you know, kind of gently pushed away years ago? How does it feel, Shania?
It feels really great to reconnect with the people, with the public, with the fans. That is always a really rewarding side of being in the public, just connecting with everybody. And it's just really great. It's lovely. It's lovely to meet the people out there in the world, you know.
Does it surprise you how proprietary we are of you? Like, you're our girl. Everybody just feels, you know, like the guy who showed up yesterday for the book signing with the Canadian flag and all festooned in maple leaves, all because of you.
It's lovely. It's just very encouraging. It's just, you know, I feel so supported, and it's very emotional, actually. And I've always remained very... just small-town Canadian girl in my heart. I mean, of course, I always come back. I come back regularly, but it's just deep in me. And I didn't leave Canada till I was, you know, a little bit older as well. So it's just a big part of who I am. And I always feel at home when I'm here, of course.
Shania, do you remember me at all?
Of course I do.
Good for you.
When you said...
Thank you, baby.
When you said it's nice to meet you, I thought,
my
I worked at CHAM in 1991. You were at a Rising Star competition, and that wasn't even a competition, just showing off Canada's new country stars, and of course you were one. And I put you on stage, and we even had you on the show, and then you did a couple of songs, and you came down, and you says, "I'm going to puke." I remember you saying that. Just seemed like
when
you...
When was that?
That was in 1991. You seemed so nervous. And I said, that's the last thing I thought anybody was going to say coming down those stairs. But were you nervous? I mean, and was nerves a problem in your career?
I'm always nervous before I go on stage. I was never natural at being in the spotlight. It's always made me very nervous. So it's stage fright is something I deal with all the time.
But you look very, very comfortable. So you hide it well.
I do hide it well. I think a lot of entertainers do. You know, I know I have heard a lot of entertainers say that. And even, you know, athletes, sports people, it's any kind of performance like that. A lot of them get physically sick before they have to go out there and do their thing. It's not, I don't think it's uncommon. It's certainly something that I've, you know, had ever since I was a small child, yeah.
You talk in your book, and the book is just so honest, and thank you for that. How many of us have spent money on books just hoping, and it just maybe scratched the surface a little bit, and there goes your $30. It is from beginning to happy ending. It is so true, so raw. And you talk about it being your mom's dream. This was your mother's dream, this fight. When did it become Shania's dream? When did it sort of take over as, okay, this is my dream now, and here's where I'm going to go?
Well, music has always been my passion. Music's been my dream. The career side, making it into a career, was never my dream. And I would say that it's still not my dream. It's something that, you know, success... In regards to, you have to remember where I come from as well. So, you know, when you read the book, you understand that when you come from, and a lot of people here may come from small town Canada, I don't know. But, you know, small mining town in Ontario, the majority of the people in, the, you know, living in you know, the ones who are poor, it's pretty basic and simple life. And, you know, the last thing you would ever imagine is becoming rich and famous someday. The most you can for a child to maybe realistically dream about is to have enough to buy your own home or to buy a brand new vehicle or something like that. So I would say that I dreamt more about my music bringing me stability and security more than anything else. And now that I have that, it's no longer my dream. I have other dreams. I have other... So, you know, my career already brought me what I dreamt it bringing me long, like way in the beginning. I wasn't really asking that much from it, you know. I think my mother was looking more for the bigger picture, mm-hmm. obviously being the adult and understanding all of that.
You talk about betrayal in your book and on behalf of like 9 million red-blooded Canadian males. What was he thinking? What was he thinking? Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Shania Twain, come on.
Sorry, he had to get that off his chest.
I just had to get that out, you know?
He's venting.
Did you hear? Have you heard any reaction from your ex on this book? Has he said anything?
No, you know, he is, I think, will be fairly passive about it. It's hard to explain, really. He really does prefer just being out of the limelight and being very quiet. He will remain that way, I'm quite sure. I doubt he'll have much to say about it at all. He's very accepting of what I feel I need to do. And, you know, I think he's very just... I would say just accepting about the whole thing. Now, you know, in the book, I don't talk about the actual affair. It's not that it isn't any of my business, but it's almost not any of my business anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, at one time, yes, it was my business. I wanted to know, da-da-da-da-da. At this point now, I don't even feel the need to write about the actual affair. So that's not in there. I write about the way the affair affected me, what I learned from it, and I lay out the whole experience for anybody else that may be about to go through it, who have gone through it, who can relate and maybe benefit from what I'm saying. But it isn't about the actual affair. So it's not about Mutt.
Right.
And I think he'll just respect that.
So this book is actually closure for you. You're actually closing a chapter in your life and starting a brand new book by the sound of it.
Well, it was a process. It was a process of going... I guess it was my self-therapy, writing the book, going through the television series, and pulling my... That's what I was doing about it for myself, getting myself through the grief of that and on to something new and forcing myself forward.
So what is your advice for women who may be going through the hell that you went through? You've got to...
That's a good word, too.
What is that? Hell?
Yeah, that's
when you're going through hell, keep going, right? But you have a stack of self-help books. You were fortunate enough to be in the presence and learn from Deepak Chopra and all of that. You sound like you're in such a place of peace. And I know that there are, I'm sure, days of pulling your hair out like everybody else. Yeah. But how did you come to this, Shania? And where do we get some?
Well, unfortunately, there's no magic trick and, you know, there's no switch or anything like that. It's not an overnight thing. I think anybody going through divorce or any personal crisis, when you reach your lowest low and you're really, which I would call a state of desperation, then you need to start asking yourself some questions, even if you have to write them down and look at them every morning. You know, because first thing you're going to say when you're feeling down and desperate is, I hate my life, I don't want to get up today, and, you know, I have a headache, and I hate everyone, and, you know, I don't want to talk to you right now, I can't hear what you're saying, go away, you don't understand me. And so what you have to do is, whenever you have a statement like that, ask yourself a question then. What are you going to do about it? So just doing that is just, that's taking a step and getting yourself unstuck. If you don't like something about your life, you don't like something about yourself, ask yourself what you're going to do about it then. Because you're the only one that can do anything about it. Don't ask anyone else what they're going to do about it. Ask yourself. That's the only way. And there is no magic trick.
your mom's depression, which was absolutely disabling, and you write about it and her not being able to get out of bed and you becoming the de facto parent, the mother mm-hmm. in the family. How much of that sort of resonated with you later when you were going through that hell that we mentioned, the importance of getting up, being there for your son? Mm-hmm. And did you wonder if that might be hereditary, if you're going to have to fight off the black dog, for your whole life?
I felt quite ridiculous almost, being as affected as I was by my divorce, because my mother had gone through so much more in her life. I certainly felt that I should have, gotten over it a lot quicker, and it shouldn't have affected me so much. But I think what I did was underestimated really the effect that divorce does have on people, especially when it's when it comes down to betrayal, and especially when there are children involved, depending on what the circumstances are. So I think I just took it for granted that it was something that you can just kind of get through, okay? Because it's such a common thing that happens to so many people. You can't imagine why it would be so devastating. So I think I questioned myself more on that regard than I did associating myself to my mother. I think if anything, looking at what my mother had gone through and writing about it from the beginning made me feel like I almost had to get over it quicker. Mm. Because my pain certainly didn't compare to anything that my mother has gone through in her life. And both my parents. In writing this book, I always did have compassion for my parents, but looking at my life now, I really do have compassion for them and really do understand as much as I can without speaking to them in person. But So
you're in a good place in your life right now, though. You got a wonderful husband.
Mm-hmm. There he is right there, he's always nearby.
Oh, isn't he?
Oh, that's
but
wonderful.
That's great to have that support as well, though. You know what? That is really, really, really wonderful. But you're happy now. I can tell.
Yeah,
I see it in your eyes.
I am very, very happy. As happy as anybody can be. I mean, every day has its ups and downs, and you have to enjoy anything that's happening to you, even just in a minute. That's good, and that you're enjoying. Enjoy that and say it out loud even. I say that way more now. I love these French fries. I'm just loving them. And, or whatever. Or I even say to myself now, I look pretty good today. Or, And because, we tend to say things more out loud or feel things more thoroughly when we're discontent. Because it's so much easier to dig than it is to climb. So you're saying, you just, when you don't like something, you really can get caught up in it very more quickly. So you got to be careful and catch yourself. You're responsible for yourself. So catch yourself. You're your own monitor. So make more of the good things. And if it doesn't make the bad things smaller, it will at least equalize things. And balance is everything.
I think you're more beautiful now than you ever have been in your
life.
Well,
thank you.
Okay, here that wasn't a question. I'm sorry for that.
Yes, that's right.
I had to say that with all respect, sir.
Yeah, you're singing to the choir over there,
know.
Mike. I think he agrees.
But this is amazing for me, and I'll just be quiet now.
So we know where Mike's happy place is. It's right now next to you. But where is your happy place? I mean, I think of where you just the places that you've mentioned in the book, the places alone that you've lived everywhere from, Timmins and Sudbury mm-hmm. and then New Zealand and Switzerland. And where is your heart home?
My home is with the people that I love. I don't really have any specific place, like a physical place, mm-hmm. that I would say I'm attached to. Canada is the most familiar and safest place. I feel the safest here. But that could be anywhere in the northern bush. I mean, it doesn't really matter where. It's not a building or a specific location. It's more of an atmosphere and an environment, and that's my comfort. It's my comfort, I suppose. If there's comfort food, there's a comfort place. And to me, that's the Canadian wilderness. But otherwise, everywhere I go, as long as I have the people that I love with me, I'm perfectly fine.
You talk in your book about finding your voice. Mm-hmm. Is it, are you close?
Are you there yet?
I am getting there. And through the course of filming the series, I went through a process of education and really learned and got to the bottom of what is going on with my voice. It's a little bit complicated, but there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to sing again perfectly fine. and I'm happy about that. I was a bit afraid to find out what really was the story. Mm-hmm. It will take a lot of work on my part. It's a rehabilitation process that I'm going to have to go through, so it's as much work as I'm willing to put into it. I'll get out of it. But I should get there, and I'm trying. I've sort of thrown myself into it, mm-hmm. and I don't see why I wouldn't get results.
You certainly have left a legacy of music behind. We play at least two or three of your songs every day on 98.1 CHFI. But are there any artists out there right now that you go, okay, they're amazing? Is there any great talent that you see right now, country or otherwise, that you really think are amazing?
Wow.
Is there anybody out there that...
There are. You know, a couple of my favorites right now, and I'm not saying this just because I'm Canadian, but Michael Bublé, for one, yeah. is...
he's an old friend.
So
he's been here many times, yeah.
He's just a really fantastic talent. I love his style. He's very consistent and, stands on his own. And I think he's wonderful. But I also think that Justin Bieber is an incredible, new young talent. He's
really?
Just got such... I've got him on my iPod when I'm jogging and stuff, because the music's so dancey, right?
Yeah.
But it's more than that. I really love listening to his voice. He's got a really great edge and maturity and character to his voice. So I'm really proud of him. And I hope he keeps up and that he hangs in there with everything.
We do too. Because he is an amazingly talented young man.
Yeah.
But he's coming to age now in a time of the internet that you didn't have to deal with just so rampantly. People with opinions on everything and that sniping anonymity that is out there. What
yeah.
kind of advice would you have for somebody coming up like that?
I would say you really isolate what you read and don't be such a radar of all of that stuff. One of the most dangerous things, I think, for society, period, is if we all had mental telepathy. We'd be killing each other, right? We have the right to think what we want to think. It's very important. We have to be able to do that. But not everybody is obligated to hear what you have, what
yeah,
you
right.
think, right?
Not everyone is entitled to your opinion, right?
Exactly.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I think it's only fair for somebody who's young. They're very curious. They want to know what people think, but there's a dangerous boundary there that they cross sometimes, and they keep themselves too vulnerable to other people's opinions. So I think you have to protect yourself to a certain degree until you're mature enough to really take it with a grain of salt or just make sense of it and use it productively and not destructively, because it can be really damaging to to yourself psychologically.
We only have you for one more moment. What's next for Shania Twain? Dancing with the Stars?
No.
I mean,
judging on something?
No.
What would you like to do?
What would I like to do? I don't know. I mean, I've got so many things in store. I think the next thing for me is to make a new album. I'm very excited about getting back to my music. Yeah. I'll spend the summer finishing off a lot of the songs I started during the course of the writing the book and doing the series. So, and I do have a couple of songs that will be released, to radio in a matter of weeks. So that's exciting. Yeah. So I've got lots of great things coming, and I'm busy.
Yeah, and we'll look forward to your show this Friday night. Starts in Canada this Friday night. That's going to be very exciting. And just to finish, the book had to have a happy ending for you to write it, didn't it? I mean, for you, all of the pain that's in this book and all of the honesty and the trials and being literally dirt poor and everything that you and your family and your siblings went through. And yet at the end, there is this shining chapter of where your life is now. Did it have to have that ending for it to have a beginning?
No, of course not. But it may have been necessary to have that ending in order for me to really be objective. Maybe I wouldn't have had the courage or the strength to be as honest as I was in the book. I might have been too self-absorbed to have been able to step back and say, because it's a risk doing this. I'm not comfortable writing about my life. It's not part of my personality to get up and talk about my personal life. I'm used to doing this on a professional level, not on a personal level. This is not You know, I'm not. This is not to entertain you. This is to share with you and hope that, you know, anybody out there that has experienced what I have might benefit from it. It makes living that life for me way more worthwhile to have shared it, and, you know, in the hopes that maybe it does inspire some people. But while, you know, while you're in it, it's very hard to be objective, and I would have had to have been much more courageous and much braver doing it while I was still in it, to be honest. So I think I needed the break of having a lighter heart in order to step back and talk about all of it objectively and not too emotionally and more, you know, because you still have to make sense. You know, people have to be able to relate to you. They can't relate, you know, to the venting and all of that stuff that just has to come up.
No one got into me there.
No, venting is also good, but I didn't want the book to be a vent. That is certainly not the purpose of the book, you know. The so I think I needed to get to that place in order to be able to do that, you know, at least responsibly.
I think you have found your voice, and it's going to be louder and sweeter than ever before. And
thank
you very much for joining us here on 98.1 CHFI. Shania Twain.
Thank you.
Yes,
we have
it was great. She can hear you.